This is Gilbert Association Football, and we have a big podcast today. So, hi, how are you? We're good, thank you. Ryan, what do we have?
Big podcast.
Yes.
So, if, to shorten the time, can we just, like, put it on fast forward the whole time?
I mean, I guess we can
sound
do
like little mice.
So, remember how...
how last week sucked?
2 weeks ago, nothing happened. This week, everything happened. Quick run, podcast rundown. We're opening with the men's national team, the youth national team.
Wait, why are we spending time on a rundown?
Your mother is why. Men's national team, women's national team, Olympic men's national team, under 20 women's national team.
I'm having trouble equating my mother to why you're going through this.
Your mother. National Soccer Hall of Fame, class of 2012, our 2 weeks of Yank news, MLS transactions, this year's MLS preview, Wisconsin soccer update, Yank of the week, take of the week, goal of the month, and Yank of the month. And then somewhere along there, we take a break because our jaws will fall off if we don't.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yes.
Okay. That might appear.
What are we talking about first?
U.S. Italy.
Delicious.
What do we got?
I'm happy.
I'm ecstatic.
Same. Question, the biggest question coming out of this match, are we sticking with Hot Caliber?
We're sticking with, quick background here. You all know the Hot Bush and how I drink really shitty beers pregame.
Yes.
I arrived at the Highbury and asked Uncle Joey for my Bush. And he said we're out of Bush. And I immediately went into panic mode because without my Bush, we don't score goals. Because Hot Bush brings goals.
Yes.
So I said, okay, I'll drink the first thing you drop out of the cooler. Ended up being a non-alcoholic beer made by Guinness. So
that it was.
We had a Hot Caliber.
So does that just mean any kind of hot beer will do?
It appears so because the
but
low...
But it's got to be shitty. It can't be good.
Yeah, the low caliber... got us the win over Italy. So it appears any warm, shitty beer gets us a win.
Love it. Okay, anyway, the real match. Let's start first things first. MB100?
U.S. Soccer picked empty's man of the match, which is asinine.
Yeah.
Because Michael Bradley played the best game I've seen out of any Yank since Tim Howard against Spain.
Yeah, I'd say about the same. That was insane.
Just patrolled the midfield,
I mean. I believe I saw a stat that said that he made 4 backwards passes the entire match and had an 87% pass completion percentage.
According to the Shin Guardian, he attempted 49 passes, completed 43, only 5 were back passes, and all the missed ones were forward going.
And that's really a real, like, the key reason as to why we won, because the partnership of him and Adu also had a really good match.
Being a destroyer, yeah.
I was very vocal against Mourinho. I'm very much anti-Edu. I don't think he's a good player.
So was I, but he played great.
I'm always,
when we antagonize him, he plays well.
I'm always in the anti-Mo camp. I don't see what's so great about his... He's got nothing going forward. He's a very stout, defensive-minded player, but I'd rather have Jones there for that role.
He's a static midfielder.
Yeah, there's nothing exciting about him, and that does... I'm not a big flair guy. I mean, I love guys like Ben Olsen, Mascherini.
But he's wearing a minimum amount of flair.
They excel at what they did. Edu just does what he does, and he doesn't do it that well. But today, he played his best game since the World Cup. I think he...
Yeah, that's fair.
He did have that terrible, terrible attempt at a shot. But besides that, he was way above solid.
Have we cemented Dempsey in the middle?
Well, let's go over the roster.
We should just let Dempsey be like Ronaldo.
Do we need to go
just
over
kind
the
of
roster?
Wanders.
Maybe we can talk about who did what.
Okay.
Tim Howard.
Had a couple of trouble moments early on, but was solid throughout.
I mean, clean sheet. I mean,
his big save
can't be terrible. With
his
a
big
clean
save
sheet.
Came in like the first 5 minutes when he had the shot off his feet.
Yeah.
That's why I always say never leave your feet. Keep your feet behind, because just in case that shit happens.
Additionally, he looks like a blue man in the new kits, and I love it.
And I love the common beard as well.
Yeah. All right, what else we got?
Backline of Fabian Johnson,
yes!
Carlos Bocanegra, Clarence Goodson, and Steve Cherundolo.
We gave up a handful of chances. Luckily, it didn't backfire on us.
The ref bailed us out numerous times with those offside calls, because most of those
I
were
believe
not
they hit the
offside.
There was 3 or 4 of them that they just plain got wrong.
Yeah, and one of them went into the net. So we got real lucky.
And I think also the back line kind of got spared by the fact that Bradley and Adu were playing so well in front of them.
Absolutely.
Because if they weren't having good games, I think we definitely would have given up a few goals.
Cherundolo was he's been lacking recently, but he performed okay. He was very smooth again, but...
That's pretty much what we've come to expect from him, especially in his, you know, more advanced age.
Yeah, I think...
Well, eventually, it's all going to go down anyway. We're going to have to find someone. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to play forever.
I think for now, he's still our number one, and I think he will be through most of qualifying.
I'd say through the semifinal run, he'll be number
one. Yeah.
Through this year.
I think in the Hex, we'll see... Probably someone
by the
like,
start of February, we'll see someone else.
Someone like Chandler step up.
Like Chandler.
Boca Negra played a phenomenal game. I mean, when you're paired up against Giovinco, he and Goodson, who aren't fast.
No,
so
not at all.
They're not quick. Shut him down most of the time.
Did very well.
Again, they got bailed out, but they're playing with a new left back partner. So you got to give him a little slack.
And Goodson shows that he's just not the answer, and I want Gooch
back. I disagree.
Really?
I do want Gooch back.
Like, is that the sport? And picked him as the best American player.
What?
Like, is that the sport over in Italy? Picked Goodson as the best player.
Why?
On our team from that match?
Of the match. His positioning was incredible.
See, but then again, think about this. And
it's just
it's
because
been a while.
They're Italians. Of course they love the center back.
Exactly.
But that's he has to play against
think
Italy.
Back. Italy should have realistically, if the offsides, you know, went their way and they actually got, like, momentum going, they should have had a couple, three goals. And I'm willing to bet that at least a couple of those would have been on Goodson.
Okay, but yes,
not fast.
We're playing a top
He's
five team remarkable. At their house. This is a very difficult game. And the fact that even with some help, they pitched a clean sheet, and a lot of that had to do with Goodson's positioning and ability to clear the ball out of the box.
I just don't think he's the final answer we're looking for.
He's absolutely not, but for now I think he's still one of our top two.
Oh, he's top two?
Right now, yeah, absolutely.
You'd put him above Gooch?
Right now, yes, because Gooch can't play.
There's a guy who had a great match later that
right
day.
Right now, Gooch can't play.
Under 23s.
Hmm. But we'll get
certain
to that.
Center back.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But right okay. now, since Gooch can't play soccer, of course Goodson's ahead of him.
I mean, that's just kind of a by default.
I'd rather see Gooch in a wheelchair.
It doesn't matter if it's by default. You pick the pool from who you have. I'd love to see Gooch healthy. I'd love to have Holden healthy, but it doesn't happen.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I guess you're right by default. That like all of the other options are less impressive.
I am correct, because
Goodson.
He's the best option right now.
He's top two by virtue of everybody else being less impressive.
Well, the same can be said for Boca Negra. The same can be said for Altidore Tops.
Oh, no, it can. You can just tell that I'm saying it with a condescending tone.
I know, and I'm calling you an asshat for it.
Okay, left back, Fabian Johnson. Is he it?
He's not it in the long term, but he's it right now.
I can't find any
reason. How long is long term, the cycle?
Oh, not even that long.
No?
No.
So just semi-final round?
Give me a name of somebody who's going to do a better job.
6 months, a year? How long?
How long has it been since you've seen a good left back performance like that? I believe you said Frankie Hayduk.
Heath Pierce
against who?
I agree that Fabian Johnson's going to be it for this cycle. Just
4 years.
There is no one else.
Yeah.
Heath Pierce is not. He's not cut out to play left back anymore. He plays center back now for FC Dallas. It's not a thing.
I think honestly, I'd rather see Pierce at a CONCACAF level than Johnson. But
yeah,
maybe after the 2014 World Cup, there will be some left back who can possibly overtake it, but there's no one.
Maybe one of those foreigners.
Who all seem to be going away from us.
Well, I mean, if we ever expected to get all three of them anyway, didn't even...
Well, any of them, though.
Yeah.
We might get Henley.
And he might be the jewel of the bunch, so...
We're going to lose Potts, too. But...
Potsy, baby. His dad was in America for 4 years. And left and never came back. He's less American than Danny Williams. But I rather enjoyed Fabian Johnson. And to be honest, if there's something that would scare the hell out of me if I was Mexico, it would be Chandler at right back and Johnson at left back. You tell me that wouldn't scare the living daylights out of you.
How about this? Chirundel at right back and Chandler at right wing while Williams was playing.
Well, that's what we're going to do for qualifying. How about
them apples?
Yeah, them apples are good. Oh,
feeling more confident about qualifying now?
Yes.
This makes me feel a lot better.
We did touch on Bradley and Adu. We mentioned Dempsey being incredible. Williams and Shea, not so much.
Well, let's talk about the always developing prospect, Josie Altidore.
Or we could talk about Danny Williams and and Breck Shea, and then move forward in the lineup.
As we're currently doing.
Danny Williams, really like him, just not a wing midfielder.
He's not a wing midfielder. I don't know where Jurgen gets this idea that he's a wing midfielder. From nowhere. He's never played there.
Can't argue with him.
I was going to say, well, did we win? Mr. Everything's about results. Did we not just beat Italy in Italy?
Let's get to that. Let's get to that.
No, we didn't win.
At this point.
We just outscored them.
Okay. We're getting there. But Williams should not play right wing. He's awful there.
Yeah, I agree. That's not where he's best at all, and I don't really trust him going forward.
No, he's not. He's a right back, defensive mid.
It may be a right back.
Yes,
I'd put him at center back way before I'd put him at right mid.
So does Hoffenheim.
Yeah,
but Breck Shea, this looks like crap.
Yeah,
the kid's lost.
You got to give him this. At least
he shouldn't have been there anyway.
Yeah, he's in the midst of his off-season. He's in the midst of his offseason, number one,
for four more days.
But the point is, he was in his offseason. And secondly, it's like, hey, you know how you haven't been playing soccer for a while? Yeah, go play Italy's defense. He was in the under-23 camp. But what I'm saying is, they made him fly
all the way over to Italy. What, 2 days before the match?
Yeah,
his birthday, for Christ's sake.
They wouldn't even let him get some birthday sex from his girlfriend.
Can't believe I'm paying for hair product on my birthday.
but Breck just looked lost. He'd get the ball and just get looked lost.
Well, see, because he didn't have anywhere to just literally run and beat a defender because they're Italian defenders.
He had no space.
Yeah.
He did have some, like, occasional moments, though, where he would just show some bit of skill. Talent. Like, where a defender came at him and he just flipped it up over him to the guy
he's
making
the
run.
He's got the Josie 3 years ago problem. That Josie still has now, actually. The Josie now problem.
I'm not worried about Breck for that reason that he hasn't been playing matches. He has been practicing, but not matches. I mean,
I think Breck's just overwhelmed because he is the guy at FC Dallas right now. He's the guy with the Olympic team on the wing. And Jurgen wants him to be...
Is he the guy on the wing? Well... Yeah.
That he's being called the senior team before anybody else says he's the guy. True. But he's the top choice to go up, I think, means he's the guy.
Okay.
And right now, he's Jurgen's guy. He's played every game under Jurgen. No one else has done that.
Which is somewhat circumstantial.
It is, yes. But the fact that he's been there every time means he's the guy at this point.
And how much did you love it when one of the commentators said that Breck Shea was Jurgen's... Jurgen found Breck Shea.
Oh, just asinine.
Was that Lawless or was it the other guy?
It was Ian Dark. Asinine.
I thought that was
really good. People give Jurgen credit for picking Germans up.
Fabian Johnson might have been his.
Yeldell and Chandler were both capped by Bradley.
Correct.
So he started the German revolution.
Yeldell was barely even relevant.
But regardless, the thing is, Jurgen didn't discover Germany being there.
Hey guys, this country exists in Europe called Germany. They have some players that are pretty good that could get U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, like
U.S. pass.
Johnson might go to him, but Williams was on the radar. Boyd was on the radar.
Okay, can we just give him credit then for Fabian Johnson and call it quits?
Sure. Maybe.
You don't potentially win anything.
Nope.
Never.
All I do is lose.
Other Jurgen mistakes, bringing in Klustin at that point. Klustin shouldn't have been there.
Do we win this game 1-0 or lose 3-0?
Let's get there, people. Let's get there.
Okay, let's get there now.
Let's be patient. Let's be patient.
I'm American. I don't have patience.
Let's be patient here. Klustin was in the wrong role, and part of me thinks Jurgen put him there just to box him out again.
Are you serious?
Just to smite you?
A small part of me, yes.
A small part of you that should have been shut up a while ago.
Maybe not, but we'll see when Sasha gets ignored next time.
He got his look at the wing midfield and didn't do anything.
He got called up and he got put into the game.
He got
and he did nothing.
He got a look at wing when we were bunkering. We were paying 9 behind the ball plus 2 more.
That's like saying
that's a lot.
I realized that was the point.
That's like saying Michael Orozco. He never got a fair shake against Ghana because that dude was just running a little bit too fast and he was just a little bit late to the ball.
Orozco didn't play against Ghana, buddy.
Oh shit! Who was that red card against?
You're cute. You're cute when you try hard.
Anyway, point remains the same.
No, it's the wrong role for him, so he's set up to fail.
No. I'm talking about Olympics. Isn't that Ghana?
Nope.
South Africa.
Didn't play Ghana. It was Nigeria.
Ah, it was Nigeria.
Yeah.
one of those Western African countries. But anyway, point remains the same. Circumstantial or not, question, even when he did get a chance to just collect the ball and pass it, look.
Because he had no one to go to. There was no option for him to play it to. If you put him at a 90-minute role where he's given a chance to succeed, he'll do better than he did today.
I haven't seen him play in over 5 months, so I
have. I've seen him play that. You're like, he's a good player.
I mean, I'm not doubting he's a good player.
And part of me thinks you're trying to screw him for his comments. But that's just me.
Well, there's just no talking you out of it.
Nope.
There's no talking you out of much.
Spectre played very well.
Yeah, Spectre was a block machine.
Yes. Took it off the face. That was nice. So good for Spectre.
Getting minutes.
Yeah.
Minutes equal better play.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
How about Terrence Boyd?
He went 90 minutes today for Chelsea.
Against Chelsea.
What did I say?
For Chelsea.
Oh.
But yes.
Terrence Boyd. That guy is quickly becoming one of my favorite Yanks.
He moves so fast. He covers so much ground.
And he
it's ridiculous.
And he cares so little about the referee or his opposition.
And not kicking people in the chest.
He doesn't give a shit.
What minute did he come on? Exactly?
79th.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So I missed the whole boy.
He just came on and didn't care. Was just throwing bows.
11 minutes
didn't,
of just chaos.
Didn't give a shit.
Kicking people, throwing elbows.
It was like a goon on the hockey team. Back, like halfway onto his defending half and slide tackled the guy for the ball?
He went nuts.
How amazing was that?
So your fans?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a fan. Absolutely.
Oh,
a fan.
I'm a TB fan.
He's
for
Frankie
sure.
Hayduk in the striking
position. Yes. He's the black Frankie Hayduk. Absolutely.
Oh, that's so great. Oh,
yeah, it's awesome. Perfect.
Are you going to get that put on the back of the next U.S. shirt?
The Black Frankie Hayduk?
Yes.
I'm considering it now.
Black Frankie. Black Hayduk.
Etienne Buttle, can we just give him an N.A.? Because we don't really...
Yes.
I don't know if he touched the ball. Maybe once or twice.
Okay. So, overall thoughts here.
We beat Italy at Italy. Is there anything that's not positive to take away from this?
We didn't really play the kind of footy that we wanted to win.
Are you
this
sure?
This is a very Bradley-esque win.
Exactly. What? That's why I say...
Are you joking?
No.
How many passing sequences up the wings did we have that would...
I agree with that, but after we scored, it was straight back to bunkering.
The only difference...
Our goal would have... Johnson wouldn't have been in a position to make that pass at all if this was a Bradley squad.
Bradley-esque, not Bradley copy. It's... I think someone mentioned it being Bradley 1.1 moving to Jurgen 2.0. It's a baby step forward, but the way to win games like this is to play the Bradley style ball, and we did a lot of that. Team defending.
I wholeheartedly disagree with the both of you, and Michael. A Bradley squad.
We were not doing any
just shanked.
There
by
were
this
no
Italy
passing
side.
Combinations after the goal.
None.
Very few. It was very much,
especially after like the 75th minute.
I mean,
75th minute. Well, we would have been bunkering from minute zero if
Jason
it was Bob
Davis,
Bradley in
Jared
charge.
Dubois, Greg Seltzer, all.
I know, and that's why I'm saying
Greg
it
Seltzer
was similar.
Also was vehemently against Fabian Johnson playing left back for any reason.
And that's why I'm
sorry,
saying
Greg. I love you, but you were wrong.
The philosophy was similar to Bradley after we scored.
Yes. Well, I see. Even before, so the focus was defend and move. Defend and counter was the style.
Because when they did have the ball, we did put everyone but Josie behind it.
Yeah. It was a very Bradley-esque style. The big difference was...
Benny's shaking his head.
You don't score that goal.
The big...
Without playing the pass and move style.
The big difference...
We don't win.
The big difference is the high press. And
yeah.
Not much else is the big difference.
I mean, really?
It was Bradley-esque. It was how they...
Is it Bradley-esque, or is it what we are going to come to have to accept as American-esque? This is just what we do. We grind out wins.
Yes, that's American-esque.
So then can we call it American-esque versus like comparing
Bob
Bradley and Jurgen?
But we evolve from American-esque bunkering to American-esque.
No, see, we're going to maintain that attitude about our game no matter who's manager. I mean, there is an American style of player. We're gritty. We play hard. Play in full 90 minutes. That's going to remain. And you know what? If you're up against Italy... 1-0, you could be literally anybody outside of the top 10, and if it's the 75th minute and you're not bunkering, the hell is wrong with you?
Look at Mexico. Yeah, so the more aggressive one was Bradley, was more aggressive. My main point here is we still played a style very similar to what we played in the past with a few slight changes. If you look at the Olympic team, how they played, that's a vast departure from how we typically play.
Is this a comfortable segue into the under-23s?
Almost.
Because can we please do that? Because honestly, like, that was 90 minutes of just straight sex.
Yes. That right there was amazing. Is like, you've heard no from 1.0 to 2.0, no, that's close to like 1.8. We were pushing real hard.
Did you watch that match? Because I believe, eventually, did you get around to downloading it? Because it was weird thing. I didn't know if you could find any links.
There were no links. Because
it was a sexual.
We were expecting.
Did
you
watch it?
It was a last minute change, so no one was expected to.
I missed about the first half hour.
No one linked.
I missed about the first 20 minutes.
No one linked anything on it because
really?
There was no links for it. I haven't seen the game. I've seen highlights and read reviews.
Is there
how
any
about
way
Mitch
to...
Diskerud? He seems to put good balls in every time.
Quick thing though, back to the U.S. game.
Okay, last comments.
I have given Jurgen nothing but shit for months for not getting results.
Wait. Let him go.
Let him talk. Make sure that this is recording, because this sounds like an admission.
Go. Speak words.
I've been saying for months that style is irrelevant. I don't care how we win. I don't care if we're possessing 80% and doing back heels off bicycle kicks, which Jurgen wants us to do.
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
It would be phenomenal.
That would be really cool.
My whole point in bringing up the Bradley style is it was very Bradley-esque in its approach with a bit of a Jurgen flair to it. And I've been giving Jurgen shit for not getting results but playing beautiful ball. We played ugly most of the time, but we won. That's what I want to see.
I'd rather play beautiful and win.
Yeah, there is that.
That'd be great. I'd rather have great players. We don't have great players. We have good players most of the time. Until we get great players, that's not going to happen.
I still think we don't
consider currency in Argentina.
That's a true fact. My point is, Jurgen deserves a lot of credit for getting the win. Absolutely. Because he finally realized we can't play the open style like he wants to.
And really disagreeing.
Honestly, show me, again, name me a team outside, like, regardless of how you feel about the FIFA rankings, name me a team outside of that top 10 who's not going to Italy and
but
playing
go back and watch the
Name
France.
Me one.
No, go back and watch, the France game again. We played a Jurgen ball against France and got shit on. He adapted and played American ball and got the win. That's my point here, is he played...
Did you realize that? That's what he's been
Jurgen
saying
ball,
he wants to do this whole
he
time,
He played
right?
Jurgen ball against France and lost. Realized he couldn't do it and adapted. That's what I want to see. Jurgen deserves credit for realizing we can't play the style against Italy. We tried against France and failed. He's realizing that he can't do it against the top level. And that's why he deserves credit for adapting to the style he needed to play.
I think what Ben's saying, though, is that we still did play Jurgen's game.
Yeah.
No,
he's been saying since he got hired that, listen, I need to find an American style of play, which is a combination of like Ajax, but then still have that American element. This is him working towards that. And he's doing
exactly what
he said he would do. And he's succeeding in doing it.
He's toning back his approach to it. He's been way too aggressive previously. He's taking it slower now. And I like seeing that. I want to see a slow play. And it's working at this point. The last three games, we've seen him scale it back a bit and get to it at a more casual rate. That's how we're going to improve. We're not going to just dive into it. We saw against Mexico. That's not going to get us further. He's scaling it, but I'm giving him a lot of credit for realizing things have to go slower.
Okay.
And he's realizing his mistake and scaling it back, and I give him a lot of credit for that.
Don't know if we can attribute so much to what is kind of an outlier friendly when you talk about, like, when you think about it. Playing Italy in Italy, you know, it's just something that doesn't happen for us very often. Yeah. I'd say that when we can have this conversation is after we play Brazil in America, see what he does then. In the aftermath of this.
Yes, but if you go and watch the last two games against Panama and Ecuador. Or Ecuador? Whatever.
Yeah.
Last two
Ecuador,
games.
Ecuador, Colombia.
Colombia.
Whatever. Same
one game. Of those countries with the same flag.
Again, it was
much.
Scaled back. It was more high press, more ball possession, but it wasn't an all-out. Because Jurgen uses Barcelona four times a sentence when he's talking to the team. He's trying to play Barcelona. He wants to play Barcelona ball and knows he can't get there right now. He's taking a more gradual pace, and that's what a good manager does. I'm saying Jurgen did something very, very smart.
Yeah.
He deserves all the credit in the world for it because he's taking it at an actual pace I can expect him to play. So all credit to him for playing a decent pace finally.
For the sake of not having a 5-hour podcast, can we just move on?
No.
No, I can accept that. I can live with that.
Yeah. I'm saying, yeah. The Jurgen wet dream of playing Barcelona ball isn't going to happen yet, but he's taking it at a pace I think actually works.
I think that's what he's been trying to preach for a long time.
But he's been playing way too aggressively earlier on, and that's why we fail to get results. You're playing too aggressively.
I would like to watch some of the German games from the 2006 World Cup and compare them to how we've been playing.
I don't think that you should be able to do that. If only because, you know, the 06 team for Germany is...
They have Philipp Lahm,
yeah, exactly. They have...
But just to see, like, style-wise, if we're... how closely...
Style...
We're trying to be modeled off of them.
I mean, it'd be interesting, but you would have to realize that they have immensely more talented players than we do.
Who can play that style? I like it.
Okay.
Let's move on. Olympic ball. Lego.
Now that's a wet dream that we all lived. Holy crap.
Most of us.
Is there a better word for what we did to Mexico than straight castration?
Smother.
We looked good.
We looked damn good.
And Michael Carroll looked like a guy who wanted to be center back for the senior team.
Yeah, he was... Well,
he's finally healthy. His feet aren't falling apart.
Well, Rob, what are your thoughts? What did you glean from this?
I really like the young attacking players that we have.
Joe Jow. How fast
good.
Is that dude? Holy
Corona
crap.
Looked good.
He did.
Mix offers something from the midfield in terms of creativity and scoring.
Mix
and
offers
many
things.
And put in a great ball from the corner to, who scored that goal? Was that Agudelo?
Yeah, it was Agudelo.
Yeah. And Agudelo had it at home. Agudelo
Mix and Swag have something together.
What?
Mix and
really,
Swag have a good, they play together very well.
Like, all the guys who played in that match, everyone was at least okay, it seemed like.
I think the entire team put in a good shift. Yeah. All the subs did very well as well.
From what I
heard...
And
credit for that has to go to
Okay, what did you hear?
Coach.
We can validate this.
The one thing I did hear that Sarcodi was below average, but that's not surprising.
Really?
I heard Sarcodi was the least impressive.
I thought the least impressive, you know, on a team full of sevens, being the only six ain't bad.
Yeah.
I'd say that he was very impressive going forward, which we already knew about him. But yeah, I mean, he was caught out of position a couple times. Mm-hmm. But then again, we had Mix playing, holding role in the midfield, and somebody else. Who was the other one? I don't think Amobi played that right away.
No.
He came,
Morales. Came on as a sub.
Starting 11,
Alfredo Morales.
It was Hamid, Valentin, Kitchen, Opara, Sarcodi, Morales, Corona, Discrut, Adu, Agudelo, Giao.
And the keepers both look good, Hamid and Johnson.
I'd say Hamid is my starter because Johnson had a couple shaky moments there late on. But still, they're both very solid keepers. And consider this. We played that match where literally at the end, Mexico was dribbling the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, I was trying to count how many times Mexico, like, without even that much pressure, were dribbling the ball out of bounds.
Just ran out of bounds.
It was so disorienting. It was unbelievable. Their coach was livid, I believe. Well, because
even matches where we had beaten them,
dick.
They still never had done anything like that. With, like, the senior team, and we were seeing them totally...
That was complete domination.
Just poop the bed.
Very encouraging.
I definitely want to throw it out there that Freddie Adu, he plays well on the wing.
Can we rename the MLS to the under-23s?
Because
so that Freddie Adu plays well for the Union?
Again, he was injured last season.
He
wasn't healthy.
But if we do call it the under-23s for the U.S., then I think Freddie will give us like 15 goals and 10 assists this year.
Probably. He was,
and give us
he
like
was
MVP
very, very
honors.
Literally everything about that team is what Jurgen's trying to go for eventually.
If they play like that at the Olympics...
I'm gonna need several new pairs of pants in Kansas City if they play like that.
We should have no trouble winning the championship.
I really don't think we will, and consider this: we did that without five players who would, without a doubt, be in the starting lineup for the squad. Five.
But even still, it's just one match.
This is true. It is just one match.
So we don't want to overhype it. And
it's
then
a big match, though. It was. Mexico just won the U20 World Cup.
They did. Because
that was the match that was going to dictate who was the favorite for the Olympics. And I think we went in saying us or Mexico, maybe it would be like 50-50. But now I think we're definitely
the favorite. We are full-on favorite. And to be honest,
after
I've
just
got
manhandling.
I've got my eyes on a medal at this point.
And the we've ignored the most important part here.
Oh, enlighten me, person who didn't watch the game in this podcast.
Dos a cero, bitches.
I know, it was amazing. See, it was 2-0, and a part of me wanted to just 5-0, 6-0. And to be honest, there were a couple of situations where we definitely should have scored, but I was so content with 2-0. It was great.
Yeah. Lose some dos a cero.
Ugh,
just wait until we go to Azteca and win 2-0.
Erection.
Oh, boy. Greatest day ever. If that would ever happen.
Because we're going to be there.
What?
We 10 pounds of sweat in 120 degree weather.
And getting pelted with ice blocks and Mexican
getting pelted with ice in 120 degree weather would feel fabulous.
Or awful because you get knocked out.
A little bit of both.
6-1 because of a concussion.
Oh, gosh. There was nothing about that match where we did not dominate. We dominated possession. We just looked. We were a well-oiled machine. That's what countries look like where they've been doing this for generations. That's what it looked like. And just to see, and you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock in what's on Big Soccer ever, but Trophy Case, that guy usually knows what's going on. And he called some attention to it, and then I went and looked on Twitter, and it's absolutely right. Caleb Porter, like those guys would walk through fire.
I was just going to ask, how much of this goes to Caleb Porter and how much is the system?
He's, well, first of all, the players are absolutely fit for the system. And secondly, Caleb Porter must be an absolute master motivator because on Twitter, like, those guys would do anything. Like they die for this under-23 team. They love it.
Now, I have a question. Yeah. You guys can shoot this down. I wouldn't blame you. Would you first match of the group stage, still start Breck Shea, even after this performance, without him?
So the question is Breck Shea better than Joe Corona?
Yes.
Yes.
I'd say so, because Joe Corona was impressive, but when you think about Freddie Adu, especially an in-form Freddie, like, akin to the one that we saw play in the Gold Cup final, you put that guy in the middle, mm-hmm. and you put Breck on the wing, and then Joe on the other wing.
And then just run really fast.
Ed, like,
so
you
if
know
we
what I'm
do
about,
put Breck
you know
in and
about?
We don't have a great performance, would you consider switching then?
You could switch anybody on that team out for anybody, and you would. And
I'm just saying it's a little dangerous.
I think the big thing here is realize the group stage should be used to figure out these kind of questions.
Yeah. Oh, and if we did make that lineup switch, you could take the several pairs of pants I already needed and add like two or three.
Because it still is really important that we win the group. Because we assume that Mexico is going to win, and we don't want to have to be rely on beating them.
I'm assuming
to get to
we end up
Olympics.
With 9 points.
Yeah,
I'm assuming we end up with 9 points. I mean, and anything less than that, it should be considered a failure on our part.
Just as easily, we could draw the first match or something by some shock or shit luck, and we're fighting the uphill battle. I'm just saying it can, even when you don't expect
it. It can. Well, you know, I wouldn't call the tournament a failure, but I would say that it would be surprising and a top form under 23 team for us wouldn't get less than 9 points.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
We should walk through the group without any problems.
Can we quick do, okay, five players who weren't there who were actually with the senior team? Actually, it's more like six. Josh Gatt, we didn't even talk about him. He needs to be on the field, that guy.
Isn't he still hurt?
No.
He's back.
Want to show Rob the picture?
I'll find it in a bit, yeah.
It's like, well, because he kind of had that tweak and people weren't sure what was wrong with him, and then a picture surfaced like a week ago of him doing a bike during like
it's a full-on bicycle.
A scrimmage.
So we just
put
Gatt on the wing and just run the hell out of teams?
That's what the plan would be.
Imagine this front line with Swag up top.
Him and Terrence Boyd on the wings would be so much speed.
I was going to say.
We'd be tripping balls.
Let's do this. Let's put
Zhao and Gatt on the wings. We would be We wouldn't even need left and right backs. We could just put them all in the middle.
It's great. If you bench Juan, you get faster by benching Agudelo. That's crazy.
You get fat. Well, Josie's age eligible for this crap too.
Yes, he is. But he's not that. He's not fast
yeah.
though.
Yes.
Yeah, if you imagine this lineup for pure
speed. Powerful. Just for pure speed.
Pure speed. Boyd up top with Gatt and Gal on the wings. Shea and Corona as he's Heck. And then Morales as the defensive mid.
Oh, crap.
And then put,
it's just no good.
Put Williams and Sarcodi on the wings.
Sheenan?
Yes. With
we do have Danny Williams, who is also age eligible. Who wasn't even aware that he was age eligible. Did you read that piece? Of, like,
no.
Either way for that, we'd be fast as like, shit.
Jurgen was talking to him, and he's like, I was so excited when the manager informed me I was age eligible for the Olympics. It's like, dude, you're not 23. You should probably know that.
That's excellent.
Put Opara in the middle.
Opara for sure.
For some speed. We're doing our all speed team.
Assuming he's healthy, he's a freak athlete.
He is.
He's a smart player.
If he stays healthy, we could see him on the senior team in 12 months. I wouldn't have any issues with that. Especially if we get into the end of that semifinal group and we got like the one or two matches left where we have nothing at stake and just kind of.
I mean, I saw him play when he was a rookie.
Good player?
Yeah, very good. I mean, as a rookie, he was controlling our strikers. Which, I mean, was a rookie in Mwanga, too,
but still.
There's also Latu up there.
Yeah.
So when he's healthy, he's a good player.
Additionally, once we get to the Olympics, which people on DTOT don't seem to really understand for some weird reason, is that for the first time with us, the Olympics don't have any conflicts with World Cup qualifying due to the new format.
Or the Gold Cup.
And so now we can take our best players from our senior team and give them the overage spots. More than likely, I'd say players who are in England or Europe for preseason, because honestly, you're going to have a hard time trying to convince LA to let Donovan go for a month.
He wants to go, though.
Oh, he definitely wants to go. You know he wants to go, but a month?
He wants to go back to England, I think.
Oh, he just wants to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll go to the Olympics and then just stay with Everton and be like, eh, I'm not going to come back.
Did you see his goodbye to Everton?
Yeah, I did.
The man wanted to kill himself. He wanted to stay
so
bad.
Sad.
People always say that. He's like, he wants to like live in LA forever. He wants to go to Everton so fucking bad. It's sad. It's depressing to see how sad.
He wants to pay for the transfer.
I guarantee.
He'd probably chip in. He probably would.
If LA said, if you give us $5 million, you're going to leave, he would absolutely.
Isn't it great to see a player love a club so much?
It's really cool. So, three overage players. I was thinking, number one, Bocanegra, I think makes a lot of sense, especially if he sees out his Rangers year.
And it's kind of like Dempsey. Dempsey, you can tell. Dempsey loves staying at Fulham.
Yeah.
But, he loves Fulham. He loves the people there. He doesn't want to move. Unless the money or Champions League was there.
London's a big place with a lot of big clubs.
Really?
I mean, it's a large place with some fairly ambitious.
Some average size clubs.
I'm just saying, I think that the only thing that could lure him away would be Champions League.
Yeah, that's it.
Just because, not even because he liked the club more, just because he wants to try that challenge.
Yeah,
I can test himself.
I think you're right.
So I was thinking Bocanegra. I don't even think we'd need to. We could take. Yeah, we should take Dempsey. I mean, he's your best player. He would be.
Dempsey should be there.
Should be there, and then we probably need another defender just to have one.
But I don't know who would in.
If he can never stay healthy for a week.
I don't want to give Zach another chance to get hurt.
Simic.
Could Gooch do it?
Gooch would be healthy by then.
Gooch would be healthy, but
would not be healthy by then.
No.
He'd be fit. He'd be healthy, but not fit.
You think that we would Stu Holden on the, a few rehab appearances?
No. We'll get back to him in a minute, but I don't think he'll be fit by then.
Anyway, can we agree that Metal not out of the question with this squad?
I feel like Metal is definitely an option.
I'd certainly say so. Maybe a
but
right
just
back.
Like just with that,
that
though,
could be
we
a Chirundolo
send
off.
We could go flaming out of the group stage too. There's such like a big window for this team.
Oh, but remember Tim Chandler. Oh wait, how old is he? Oh yeah, not 23.
Yeah.
Right back. There you go. Done. Done. Oh my gosh. Imagine the freaking speed. Gat, Zhao, Breck Shea, Tim Chandler. That's your that's your outsider.
You gotta stop doing speed, man.
Make me.
Hey, I can quit when I want, okay?
I just don't want to quit. I wish I knew how to quit speed.
My body tells me no. Indeed.
But we quickly touch on Breck shaking sign off against Dallas.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Pretty ironic.
In the camp, there were two friendlies. One against the San Antonio Scorpions, which Shea, Duke, and Jack Mack scored. And they played FC Dallas. And Breck Shea scored and got himself sent off against his own team. How awesome is that?
It's pretty sweet, not gonna lie.
Breck is the man.
Were his teammates laughing at him?
He scored against them, but probably not. The lone dust goes by Andrew Jacobson, which made me think, he's still playing this time.
Do you think their manager told them not to tackle Breck?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He said, if you challenge him, you're off the team.
Don't go near him. You let him score. Yeah.
Don't even breathe in him. Turn away.
Do you think that he maybe just paid the ref just to send Breck off when he said he wouldn't play?
Send off my best player who's playing with the other team.
I hope that happened. I really do.
That would be hysterical. Hey, hey! You looked at me funny. Yellow. Oh, yeah. Okay, so what else we got?
The women's national team.
Okay, this should go fairly quickly.
Three matches over the past week or so.
Two yeas, one nay.
Yeah, the U.S. Played Denmark, won 5-0. The big question we're looking at here is what's the backline look like going to the Olympics? And it's pretty clear that Lapilvet's locked in at center back. Pretty clear that Rampone's locked in at left back. Center back is going to be Rampone. I think Bueller is going to be at center back as well. And then O'Hara on the right, given the soul-crushing loss of the best right back in the world.
I see no reason to not agree with you.
Is the women's also under 23?
No, that's okay. Everyone.
Yeah, they get everybody.
So it's pretty much just like another women's World Cup.
Correct.
Basically. And then in the middle, it'll be Box and Lloyd, because they were the only group not to change, except for Wanak and Morgan. On the right, it'll be O'Reilly, probably. On the left, you'll probably see Cheney, because Cheney, Heath, and A-Rod all start on the left at some point, and then Wanak and Morgan up top. The opening match was a 5-0 drubbing of Denmark, just destroyed them. Goals for Morgan, Wambach, Lloyd, Morgan again, and Sid LaRue, with assists from O'Reilly, Morgan, Cheney, Heath, and Cox. Woman of the match going to Alex Morgan. Second match was Norway 2-1 victory. Goals from Wambach and LaRue, with assists from Mitz and Rodriguez. And then just a weird, sloppy goal in stoppage time got Norway to pull one back. And then a couple days ago, we had a repeat of the Women's World Cup where, you know, they were pretty even. The U.S. had numerous chances but just couldn't get one in. And then in the 84th minute, Japan
gets
one chance and finishes it. Which I think, if we're going to go back, the World Cup wasn't a fluke. I mean, Japan is the best team in the world right now.
And you wonder if that matchup's going to be like more of a mental mind game now with the U.S. women.
Well, we're playing Japan again. In April, in Japan.
Because when you lose two matches like that in kind of heartbreaking fashion, it can really screw with you. So if you start that third match and you aren't getting that one goal that you probably deserve, you start thinking, oh, fuck, here we go.
We're cursed, yeah.
They're going to score one cheap goal and rip our heart out.
I think no matter what happens in the next game, going in the Olympics, Japan are the favorite.
Oh, you sure?
I mean, even the thing to remember here is Sawa didn't even play in this game.
No.
She was nowhere to be found. It wasn't even in the stadium. So they lost 1-0 without the opponent's best player in the world, according to FIFA, on the field. That's disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine the U.S. without Wambach winning a game.
Can't.
I mean, I can't.
I mean, there's lots of games that they
could have won without Wambach. Step up big.
Alex Morgan's had a huge month. Chick is on fire. She's just smoking shit right now.
And smoking hot. And smoking hot. In the past month.
And it's still back to that benching, I think, that lit her fire under her ass.
Because
ever since then, she's been scoring.
Well, when Pia said, how did it make you feel? Not good, we'll play better. She's scored in every game since then, except for the Japan game.
Cool.
She scored 8 goals in 6 matches.
Yeah, she did.
With back-to-back-to-back braces.
It's a good goal-scoring record.
Yeah.
Something like that.
You're over one per game.
That's not bad.
Okay.
We'll quick hop over to the women's U-20s who are currently in...
Heat battle with Panama. Wait, that's a lie.
Third World Cup qualification right now. They beat Guatemala 6-0 in the opener. Goals from Lindsay Horan. An absolute stunner from Julie Johnson. It's Yank goal of the month. It's over. It's locked on. She wins it heads down. Best goal of March, no matter what happens.
Hands down?
Hands down.
But we're doing goals for February, right?
We are, yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that goal.
Okay, well, it's decided.
Yeah. Horan scored again. Kay Stengel, Carlo Recaro, and then Horan again. So a hat for Lindsay Horan.
Ooh.
Game two was not in Guatemala. I think it was Cuba, I remember.
Yes.
Stengel, Maya Hayes, Hayes again, Stengel again, DiBernardo, and Kai Ubo Gagu, I think. I don't know how to pronounce that.
You got mail.
So another dominating performance, number 6-0. With, again, winning the match for that one was not Horan, somebody else. And as we speak... the women are currently up 5-0 on Panama, so they're going to walk through the group. Goals so far from DiBernardo again, Moise, I think it's related to Christy Moise, Hayes, Johnson again, and Capel. So comfortable so far from the women, and I believe Thursday is the qualifying game to get them into the Underway World Cup. So
nice.
Hot stuff in the Maybe Nats as well on the women's side, so... Good month for soccer, except for the whole Japan loss.
Right.
Good times. Woo! The long segment.
Yeah, I'd say so.